nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
Welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your Wednesday host, William Rebellum. Please go to. Oh, today is Wednesday, September 27th, 2023. Please go to Republic Broadcasting, folks, and donate what you can. The station needs it real bad right now, and we need regular monthly donations. So if you can, please get set up on that. And we really appreciate you. So tonight I have a very special guest, a man I've been trying to get on my show for months. He is a reporter and journalist for the American Free Press. You should know him by name. He's a well-known guy, very liked by most people, all people I've ever talked to. Mr. John Friend. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad that we were finally able to connect tonight.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And we got an hour. We're going to cover some of your stories here from the American Free Press, from the latest published September 4th to 7th edition, or September 4th and 11th week edition here. I just got this in the mail yesterday. So there's a few articles that will be very interesting to cover here. A few stories we know about that you wrote about. And it'd be nice to get your just live commentary on your stories that you did. And you mentioned also a couple stories about that you're currently having the works that are not yet published that we could possibly go over. So,
yeah, I think you're looking at issue 35 and 36. We've since published issue 37 and 38, and then we're actually going to be publishing issue 39 and 40 tomorrow morning, or actually it'll probably be like tomorrow afternoon. So yeah, American Free Press is a bi-weekly print newspaper, national print newspaper, I guess international newspaper. A few subscribers overseas as well.
Yeah.
So it's a great newspaper. It's known as America's last real newspaper. It's been publishing since 2001. It's basically the successor of the Spotlight newspaper. And I've been writing for American Free Press since, I want to say, like 2013. So it's been almost, well, I guess over 10 years at this point. And I remember first hearing about American Free Press from listening to the late, great Michael Collins Piper, who broadcast also on RBN for many years. And he was a regular writer and contributor to American Free Press, as well as the Barnes Review History Magazine, which is another publication that I write for and help edit. And that is a bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. And it's incredible. And I always say this when I'm on the air, it's really incredible to even have a print newspaper or a print magazine in this day and age, considering that most of these, you know, million-dollar companies that publish magazines and newspapers can't even maintain a print edition any longer. Pretty much everything is digital these days. So, you know, it's really just a testament to the great product that is American Free Press and the Barnes Review, and of course our loyal subscribers and supporters.
Absolutely, and I'm one of those. And yeah, you know, having a print version of your publication really adds, I think it adds legitimacy to it. You know, it gives it a different,
yeah,
whole different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so as well. And I mean, I've kind of always been like an old school, like, newspaper nerd. I used to sit down and read the newspaper like every day before school when I was in high school and into college. So I've always just really, you know, kind of enjoyed reading a print newspaper, or a print book for that matter, or a print, you know, magazine or whatever. Just a printed publication is, I find, much easier to read. I mean, when I'm on the computer these days and I'm like scrolling through Twitter or Telegram or my email or whatever, it's like just really draining. I don't know if that's a sign of me aging or just being on the computer so much. I don't know what it is, but I find myself extremely exhausted after staring at a computer for more than 2 or 3 hours. So, you know, but that really doesn't happen if I'm reading like a print, you know, actual physical product. It's much different and a much more enjoyable experience, at least in my opinion anyways.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, John. And by the way, I did find the issue. Yeah, you were right. I was looking at the past issue. So the issue is 3738 from September 18th to 25th. And the cover story that you wrote is Impeach Biden, can the GOP overcome internal divisions to remove Joe Biden? And it's just about some, it's a pretty short article, and I got the gist of it was Matt Gaetz kind of calling out the cuck Kevin McCarthy, who is really useful to the oligarchs, is really just sort of an establishment Republican. Yeah, I thought there was one interesting quote that you put in here from Matt Gaetz, I think. It said, quote, "The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair," Gaetz announced on the House floor shortly before McCarthy's press conference, laying out the impeachment inquiry. "I know that Washington isn't a town where people are known for keeping their word, Speaker McCarthy. I'm here to hold you to yours." So I don't know if you wanted to. We don't have to read this whole article or anything, but
I mean, he was basically referring to how, I mean, McCarthy kind of got into the position of Speaker of the House in this like compromise deal with Gaetz and some of these other more populist, you know, Trump-leaning Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And, you know, he pledged to do a number of things, almost none of which he's actually accomplished. One was like reining in federal spending and releasing the January 6th tapes and a number of other things, including, you know, holding Biden accountable and and really going after the Democrats for totally weaponizing the federal government and the Department of Justice and the FBI to target Trump and his supporters. And none of that has really happened. I mean, I think that's really why McCarthy ultimately announced this impeachment inquiry. I frankly don't have high hopes for it. It's actually going to start tomorrow, apparently. And I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I tend to view a lot of this stuff as kind of political theater. I mean, how long have they been talking about all of this criminality that's been very well documented and I think conclusively established in a number of different ways? I mean, you know, including going back to the original New York Post story that broke the whole Hunter Biden laptop that was systematically suppressed by Facebook and Twitter and all the top social media companies and, you know, large internet platforms, and was denounced by, what was it, that group of like 50 former intelligence agents or intelligence operatives, that the whole story was a classic case of Russian disinformation. Of course, that turned out to be total nonsense. And, you know, it was just basically a big cover-up for Biden and just another piece of evidence we have to demonstrate that the 2020 election was fundamentally rigged in a number of different ways against Trump. That's just one example. But, yeah, no, I mean, this has been an issue, like this whole weaponization of the federal government and the rule of law. This has been an issue that American Free Press has been covering for a very long time. I mean, certainly since January 6th and the 2020 election. But it's kind of a theme that we've covered for a number of years. I mean, I remember writing stories about like the Charlottesville Unite the Right and all of the activists that were targeted and persecuted for simply to attend a legally sanctioned event, and they were violently assaulted by criminals and left Antifa fanatics. So like the two-tier justice system is very apparent, and it's something that I think even like average, like normal Americans that aren't even too politically motivated or like, you know, into politics have to recognize at this point, right? I mean, it's so blatantly obvious. Trump is what, he's been indicted for a record 4 times now. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Charlottesville. That was kind of where I started to wake up. That was an event that got me to go, whoa, what is going on here? Yeah, something is really wrong. That it was followed by what happened in Berkeley with Antifa, you know, lighting a giant fire and the authorities doing nothing. So that was all really interesting. And then somebody mentioned that I actually started following Ben Shapiro really hard at that point. And then somebody mentioned Ben Shapiro being Jewish and that he was the worst kind of Jew. And then I obviously had the Pavlovian reaction that I had been brainwashed with my entire life, which was to come to the rescue against this anti-Semite and then bring up Hitler and the Holocaust and all these things. They dropped a couple of nuggets on me. This person actually happened to be Jewish. And it was in a Facebook forum, and they pretty much, they used to talk about Ben Shapiro being a neocon, and everybody was, the idea of controlled opposition came up, and I was just, I don't want to go too deep on my story here, but that was kind of when I woke up, and so I did a little digging, and I found out, wow, we have really been lied to, so. Not long after that, I got your guys' newspaper.
Oh, good, man. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have a very similar story. I mean, everybody's wake up to this reality that we live in, and many of these uncomfortable conclusions, and researching alternative history and revisionist history, and just really, I think what it's all about is just using your own brain, using independent critical thinking skills to really assess the information we've been given. And once you start doing that, it quit like pretty much every official narrative on any major topic quickly falls apart. It's interesting, like how over the years different people have sort of woken up in various ways. I mean, I was like super into like the 9/11 truth movement, like when I first kind of woke up, and that led me to question pretty much everything, like every aspect of history and even mainstream medicine and science, and certainly, you know, various historical narratives, particularly relating to World War II and even World War I, but also even like the Civil War in American history. I mean, once you kind of wake up, you really start reassessing everything, you know, everything that you've been taught, at least by mainstream history books or the mainstream, like, you know, public education system. So, yeah, and that's why, you know, it's so important to have, you know, alternative newspapers out there presenting a different side, you know, present an America first populist sort of perspective, which is exactly what American Free Press is all about.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I don't want to go too off topic, but I'll just say that one of the things that I've been learning a lot, I don't know if you've listened to one of our other hosts, his name's Mike Gaddy. I don't know if you've heard him before. He mentioned actually just earlier, he mentioned you had him on his show, or you guys did a show in 5 years ago or something. 2015, 2016, I guess.
I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because everybody thinks that like either the Republican Party or the Democrat Party had it right at some point, and that, America was not set up, you know, that it was actually set up for we the people. But now there's a lot of information coming out, and I think Mike Gaddy is the guy right at the forefront of it, that America's actually, obviously not with every founding father, you know, there were some that were actually had the people's interest at heart, like Patrick Henry. That America's kind of actually what it was set up to be in the first place right now. There's that.
It's an interesting argument. I think a lot of it goes back to the debate between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, you know, who were debating over the Constitution and the role of like a centralized federal government. And if you look at like all the critiques and the criticisms that the Anti-Federalists were making and all the predictions that they were making about, you know, like how a federal government would ultimately evolve and just continue to expand power, they were 100% spot on. I mean, in almost everything that they wrote. So, I mean, I think that's true. Although I think, I don't know. I mean, if you look at history, it's really like a study of clashing personalities and factions and groups, some of them secret, some of them out in the open. And I think America was founded by very virtuous, honorable Christian men, and they established a republic based on Christian principles that they specifically said would only be maintained if, you know, Americans maintained a sense of virtue and, you know, respect for Christian principles and Christian ideals. And that's been totally thrown out the window at this point. So now we're living under this like Jewish administered tyranny that is actively hostile to the interests of average Americans. And the very concept of like what is an American is also another big subject. I mean, I think fundamentally an authentic American is like a white European Christian descendant of the people that founded this country. I mean, that's traditionally what America has meant. It's been morphed into this Jewish idea of like a melting pot and like this multiracial empire where anybody can show up here and just be, you know, automatically become an American citizen. I think that's a very Jewish culture, like culturally Marxist concept that's been institutionalized and is fundamentally flawed. So, I mean, you know, there's been this systematic attack on not only, you know, American identity, but white identity worldwide and our history and our culture and our heritage and the accomplishments of our people. And history has been fundamentally weaponized against our people. And, you know, that's really like the main conclusion that I've come to and is really like what motivates me to, you know, continue to sort of do this sort of work and talk about these issues and write about these issues.
Yeah. And I think the big one is what, you know, your focus of being World War II, that's been my focus as well. You know, that to me is the linchpin of the lies. If we can get through that lie of first the Holocaust lie, which is not only a lie, it's a complete inversion of the truth. So it's not just, oh, we're lying that this happened. No, we're actually blame shifting. I'm Jewish. I'm the international Jew that controls the world. We're blame shifting what we did to the Germans, but not just to the Germans. We're blame shifting also what we did to the Russians previously to the Germans. And we can keep going back and back and back. They've committed so many Holocausts. The Jews as a power structure have committed so many Holocausts against humanity. I can't even count them all. It's like they just do it for sport every day. What do they just do to Lahaina? You know, I was definitely another Holocaust committed by the Jews, you know, Black Rock, you know, and they operate by proxy. So that's, you know, they are able to control the levers of power sort of, you know, in the background of all the countries. So it's hard to explain this stuff to people that haven't been introduced to it. All right, we're up against the break. So I'll be right back. We'll be right back with John Friend. Hang on, black lung
heartache. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3 for details.
John, where were we? I was commenting about World War II.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say briefly, I know we only got this is kind of a shorter segment, but I just wanted to mention that I think your total inversion is very much spot on. That's absolutely the conclusion that I've come to. I mean, World War II is, as you said, sort of like the linchpin of our whole modern order. You know, it's like basically like the bedrock of our collective historical understanding of, you know, the past 100 years at least. And it's fundamentally backwards. I mean, I think you can make a very strong case that Hitler's Germany was actually standing up for their nation and opposing this international globalist conspiracy, you know, with communism on one side and international plutocratic capitalism on the other and democracy. And yeah, so I mean, basically that like the official narrative is 100% opposite, and that it definitely applies to the alleged Jewish Holocaust story. I mean, the Jews were not systematically murdered in gas chambers during World War II. The Germans absolutely wanted to rid them of you know, of their country. That was that was what their policy actually was. It wasn't rounding these people up and murdering them. And they had a lot of very legitimate, well-reasoned arguments for wishing to expel the Jews from Germany and other parts of Europe that were under their control. But yeah, no, I mean, I think you could make an even better case, a slam dunk case, that it was actually the Germans who experienced a genuine genocide, a genuine Holocaust during World War II that was systematically implemented by the Western Allies through firebombing campaigns. You know, in the aftermath of World War II, they, you know, a lot of the German POWs were sent to these horrific, like, concentration camps where many of them were starved to death and, you know, just overexposed and died from exposure and were systematically transferred from different territories. And, you know, it was just a horrific injustice in a variety of ways. And it's like, again, like the total opposite of what we've been told. And I know that's a very difficult thing for people to, you know, like an average person to contemplate. But I think, you know, if you really allow your mind to entertain some of these alternative ideas and start looking at the evidence and looking at what some of these leaders themselves were openly saying, it makes a lot more sense, and there's a lot more evidence and proof to justify our version of World War II than the official Jewish narrative, that's for sure. And then secondly, you had mentioned how, like, Jews kind of operate behind the scenes, and I guess that's true to a certain extent. But now, I mean, I'm looking around, and I just see Jews everywhere, openly bullying Elon Musk and organizing boycotts against him because he's allegedly mainstreaming anti-Semitism and hate speech, which is totally false. I mean, Twitter is probably even worse under his reign than it was under Jack Dorsey. There's been a lot of I'm surprised I even am able to maintain an account there. But the thing is I'm so shadow banned. I mean, you can't even, like, see my tweets unless you, like, specifically go to my page. And that's the case for a lot of people on Twitter. Musk's whole policy is to de-amplify some of these more controversial, you know, commenters and users on Twitter and de-amplify their posts. So basically nobody can even see them. And he's done everything in his power to placate organizations like the ADL and these other Jewish groups. And yet they're still going after him in a very loud, obnoxious way. And you know, that's not even to mention all the Jews that are in the U.S. Congress and pretty much every key position of power and influence. Look at the Biden administration. I mean, you have Jewish newspapers. I remember when Biden was elected, you had Jewish newspapers writing articles documenting and detailing all of the Jews in his cabinet. And it was, like, literally, like, every single cabinet position. Not every single one, but you know what I mean? It was, like, the majority of the cabinet positions, and especially the most important ones, the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Justice Department, the State Department. I mean, they're all run by Jews. And so I guess that's my point, is, like, they're very loudly and obnoxiously proclaiming their power and influence and utilizing their power and influence to advance their agenda and to shut down anybody that's even remotely critical of it, and yet will gaslight you and demonize you as some sort of crazy anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist for simply noticing it and recognizing it and perhaps objecting to it, or even just pointing it out, even just factually observing these things is anti-Semitism to these people. And really, this is, like, goes to the heart of the, like, key issues facing our country. It's free speech. I mean, do we have the ability to criticize Jews? Do we have the ability to recognize facts about Jews, to recognize their power and influence by reading their own press releases from, like, the ADL, or the American Jewish Congress, or the World Zionist Conference, or any number of other Jewish organizations? I mean, they openly and boldly and proudly proclaim what they're doing, whether it's letting in unlimited numbers of refugees into the country, promoting transgenderism, promoting the whole LGBTQ plus movement, you know, any number of other subversive movements they're behind. You know, do we have the ability to recognize this and talk about it as adults, or don't we? According to the Jews, we don't. And that's a big problem with me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Okay, we're back. All right, so John, did you have more you wanted to say on that? I was going to just say, you know, everything you said was spot on. I don't know even where to start. I mean, one thing that comes to mind about World War II, you mentioned the Rhinemeadow death camps where the German soldiers were sent. I mean, there was a exactly the word you used, systematic planned genocide of the German people by the Jewish establishment. I came to find out that it wasn't Hitler that wanted to take over the world. It was the Jews that were already doing that. And they've been doing that for a very, very long time. And they've set up shop in America to do that. But specifically, the German soldiers were sent to the Rhinemeadow death camps, and Eisenhower, who was a complete tool of the Jewish establishment, he classified the German soldiers, 1.5 million of them, somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million soldiers, as disarmed enemy combatants instead of, you know, POWs. And so because of that classification, he was able to completely circumvent the Geneva Convention treatment of POWs and just leave them there in those hot summer sun in Germany, in those Rhinemeadow death camps. and just let them die of exactly what you said, exposure. So yeah. This is another Jewish crime. That's one Jewish Holocaust. Another one is Dresden, where they used the American Royal Air Force and the Royal Air Force of Britain and the Americans to do firebombing campaigns. And Dresden was just sort of the flagship city. It was just a gingerbread city of just German civilians. There were no strategic military targets there. And they just genocided the people of Dresden. I mean, just absolutely genocided them. This is a Jewish warfare, and nobody knows about this. So, you know, none of these wars would have happened if it wasn't for international Jewry. It's just a satanic religion, and people don't know it. People think it's like, you know, God's chosen people. It's like, well, their God is Lucifer. So, you know, okay, if you worship Lucifer, then they're God's chosen people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, even Dresden, I mean, it didn't even have any strategic military importance. So it just shows you the malicious nature, the genocidal nature of the whole Allied policy towards Germany. Yeah, no, I mean, I was pretty much wrapped up. I mean, my main point was that, like, free speech, like, do we have the ability to talk openly about these things and to pursue, I guess, dissenting intellectual inquiry on these subjects, or don't we? And it's, according to the Jews, we absolutely don't. I mean, they don't want anybody questioning anything they have to say. They want to make it illegal for you to question anything that they say, or you know, criminalize any sort of dissent against them. And I just find that fundamentally outrageous to the, you know, deepest fiber of my bone. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, the way these people operate, it's so insulting. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, they're just so arrogant, and just the brazen shamelessness that they operate in is just truly, truly insulting and unacceptable. And to me, it's like, gosh, why aren't more people outraged by this? Maybe it's people are afraid, you know, they just don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of changing. You know, it's going to take a lot of time to sort of overcome this information barrier, you know, that's preventing people from objectively entertaining these ideas. And I think a big part of it goes to, you know, the sort of inversion that we've been talking about, and the propaganda associated with the official World War II narrative, and how powerful it is, and how traumatizing and, like, emotionally exploitative it all is. Look at all these Hollywood films that everybody's brainwashed with when they're in school, and all these Holocaust memoirs and all these books and stuff that you're forced to read when you're in high school and college. And it's all basically designed to undermine your critical thinking ability and just accept these horror stories as truth. And virtually none of them are. So yeah. That's, you know, that's a big problem, is just this psychological operation that we see relating to World War II and how effective it's been.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead. And everything you just said was spot on. I can't, have nothing to follow up on it. So let's go ahead and jump to Robert Ravel, who's called in. Robert, welcome.
Hey, William and John. John, been a long time. Me and you've been playing phone tag for a while and been trying to get together. But listen to this. Okay, you got Dennis Wise, New World Order, communism by the back door. You had the stuff that happened in Spain, in Portugal, and Mexico with all of these cryptos, playing their games and everything else, and the struggles that the native people in each of those lands had right around the World War II era. But here's another thing, and everybody should watch New World Order, Communism by the Back Door, and watch all those parts, and you'll get into Spain, you'll get into Portugal, and you'll get into Mexico, and how it affected those lands. And then the firebombings that happened to the Japanese, because they were aligned with Franco, Mussolini, and Hitler in World War II. Now, I want to bring this into the contemporary, because we all saw in the last few days this operation. See, I warned everybody Sunday night on my broadcast when I saw this thing where Trudeau, Castro, and all these little freaks in the Canadian Parliament brought this poor 98-year-old man out in front of the Canadian Parliament. And they gave him a standing ovation. They played this psyop, right? You guys saw it. But guess what?
Yeah.
He was a war hero. He was a Waffen SS fighting against the communist butchers of the Soviet Union. And now, I warned everybody, watch what happens this week. Alex Jones, Owen Schroyer, all these little punks, Breitbart, they all threw everybody under the bus. It was a reverse psychological warfare operation. And this poor man, who was a hero, he fought against the communists in Ukraine, the people that did the Holodomor on his people, killed, what, 12, 15 million of his people. Stalin starved them the F out. And then they're going to bring him at 90 years old in front of the Canadian Parliament, and they're going to embarrass him, and they're all going to give him a standing ovation. And then the next day, they let all the Zio Jewish-controlled alternative media let loose on Canada on purpose. And did you see it? Did you see it unfold? Alex Jones spent a half an hour on this crap today, throwing the Nazis under the bus. All his little minions the last 2 days throwing the Nazis under the bus as the most greatest evil of all time. But wait a minute. These Ukrainians, they fought against Zio communist death marches on their people. They starved them for years. But yet we're supposed to take the Soviet side. You see how they did this to us, you guys? You see how they ran this reverse PSYOP and nobody sees it except a few of us. I want your comments on that.
John?
Yeah, no, you know what? I did see this story. I don't really follow Alex Jones or Owen Schroyer all that closely. I was kind of listening to him during the the lead up to the 2020 election and in the aftermath, but I don't listen to Alex Jones regularly. I mean, this guy has been demonizing the Nazis his entire career, the quote-unquote Nazis, and, you know, basically running cover for international Jewry and really the exactly. True culprits behind the whole New World Order conspiracy that he's talked all about for years.
Yeah, yeah. But
so
John,
that doesn't
listen,
surprise
listen,
me.
Listen.
I mean,
right, right. But listen, these are the guys lionizing the J6 Patriots, and many of those people deserve to be let free. But you see, these are the people that get in bed with this idea that the Nazis bad, 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 bad. You see, they're running a multi-tiered PSYOP with one event, bringing this poor 98-year-old man out in front of the freaking Canadian Congress and giving him a parliament, giving him everybody stands up. And then the next day, the entire media flips. And then Trudeau and all Castro, all these punks got to back off. And then they demonize this poor 98-year-old man because he was Waffen SS. You see what I'm saying? That what they did was
that's
all an anti-Russian operation.
No, that's a very interesting analysis. I don't doubt you. I mean, that seems to be exactly what's going on. I mean, like I said, I haven't listened to Alex Jones, but you've certainly seen the reaction and how it's just generated all this anti quote unquote Nazi hysteria.
Alex is just one person, but it's the Breitbart gang. It's Ezra Levant over at in Canada with Rebel Media. It's the entire Zio alternative media that this was an op for them to latch onto anti-Nazi blah 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 blah. This was like a Jewish alternative media operation that went on. And this poor guy who was a war hero, because guess what? This guy was with the Waffen SS in Ukraine fighting against the Soviets. He was a hero, but guess what? Now he's the biggest turd on the planet. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, no, I completely understand what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense. And this is typical of these people. I mean, again, as you mentioned, it's not just Alex Jones. It's this whole quote-unquote alternative media ecosphere, like the more conservatives, and I'm hearing a lot of banging on a keyboard.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm telling Mike, because I have a video where it's a music video they put together with Chris Switzer, where Alex Jones says, I'm Jewish. Actually, Alex Jones is, he's absolutely controlled opposition. He always, he'll talk about everything that's going on, but at the very end, he'll always blame it on the Nazis that don't even exist. You know, there's no Nazis out there anymore. There's no white supremacy problem out there at all. You know, it's just a big red herring.
My thing about Alex Jones and other...
Go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, people, like my perspective on anybody in the alternative media or in academia, like presenting information or talking about various issues. I don't have a problem if they're not necessarily talking about like the Jewish role and everything, because I do understand it is a very controversial topic. I do have a problem, however, when they're actively running cover for the Jews and being dishonest, you know, about various historical events and even contemporary events. That's when it really crosses the line. I mean, for example, like a perfect example would be like a guy like Jared Taylor from American Renaissance does a lot of great work. I mean, I have no critiques of his work, and he's somebody that doesn't really focus on the Jewish question or the Jewish angle to all this stuff. So I guess my point is that there is a role. I mean, not everybody necessarily needs to be hammering on about the Jews. That's not really the
sometimes that's true. You're right. People don't want to break into that right away. You know, like me, I had to get through Ben Shapiro before I was able to get back to, you know, truth tier, get up to truth tier.
Yeah. Well, let me give you my breakdown of why this is occurring. Okay. Why this is occurring is due to the fact that the Holocaust narrative is collapsing. Okay. In our sector across, basically white people's alternative media, the Holocaust narrative is collapsing. The World War II narrative of the orthodoxy that Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin were the good guys is collapsing. So now they've sent out their minions to reinforce the fact that the Allied powers were the good guys. And so this was like a chicken bone thrown out. And unfortunately, the poor 98-year-old Ukrainian Waffen-SS guy is the patsy in this thing. And so now they have to reinforce the orthodoxy of World War II and who the good guys and the bad guys were by pulling this operation in Canada and then having the whole Zio alternative media try to clown the Canadian Parliament by saying, oh, you guys had a Nazi on, you're the worst turds in the world. And now Poland is the government, the Zio government of Poland, is trying to bring this guy at 98 years old back to face some sort of trials, blah, 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 blah. So what they're doing is they're trying to enforce orthodoxy of the World War II narrative that's been given to us by the victors of World War II, which is what? Judaic communism, okay? And so the entire narrative's collapsing in the alternative media sphere, and so they have to enforce it by this op. And this is the way I'm analyzing it, and you might see it that way and you might not, but I'm like, look, oh, because people are getting wise to 9/11, they're getting wise to the Holo hoax, they're getting wise to World War II, and it's like, hey, wait a minute, Franco, Mussolini, Hitler, and Hirohito were probably the good guys in this whole thing, and we've been given a whole bad freaking bag of goods here to try to believe in, and so they're trying to reinforce the orthodoxy of World War II is what I'm seeing here.
Absolutely. Hey, Robert. Really. Hey, listen. I don't mean to cut you off, but I really appreciate the call and the really great insights. I totally I agree with you on this. Yeah, and I haven't really been following it that much, so I appreciate the call again.
Just listen, and look forward to seeing your show. Listen on Sunday night. Listen on Sunday night, and I'll have the breakdown. It'll be crazy. So I'll talk to you guys soon.
I caught. See you later, Robert. I caught Robert's show past Sunday. I caught Robert's show this last Sunday. It was a great show. It's on 10 to 12 Central on Sunday night. It's great show. So,
By the way, I just want to give a big shout out to Robert. We've been buddies for a while. We haven't done a show for a long time, way too long, but I've always loved Robert. He's a good guy. He does one of the better shows out there. So tip my hat to Robert.
For sure. Absolutely. All right, we got one more. We got Chance in West Virginia. He's got a quick question for you, John, about one of your articles here.
Yes. Hello, guys.
Hey, Chance.
That was Robert made some interesting points there, and I got an interesting point too to make to you, Mr. Friend. But before I get to that, you're right about that no good friggin' POS Eisenhower. He stuck it up the asses of all my Hungarian relatives in 1956. People seem to forget that. You know?
Right. You're talking about like the nationalist uprising in Hungary?
Yeah. When the Hungarian people kicked the damn communists out and Eisenhower didn't even back them. I can't stand the man. It's personal for me. They could have put communism in check after the brave Hungarian people kicked the Russians' asses. But nope. He didn't do crap. All right. The reason why I called, John, is I recently got issue 37 and 38, and all your four articles were very good, but one particularly interested me, exposing the tactics of the ADL, about that guy Keith Woods.
Yeah.
That really caught my attention. But here, I got a problem with other authors now. Tell me what you think about this, John. I don't happen to trust Elon Musk, but other authors are starting to say that he's going after the ADL, too. I kind of seem to think, I'm wondering, if he's thrown in there to act like he's going against the ADL just to take the spotlight off, to minimize the work of Keith Woods. What do you think?
You know, he's such a very just interesting operator. He kind of reminds me of Trump. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, he's obviously not like a big political figure, but he kind of is playing like that sort of mysterious, potentially independent, potentially like bought off insider. You know, who really knows? Sometimes he says good things. Sometimes he says bad things. It's hard to say. I mean, I just try to look at it and objectively report on what he's doing, what he's saying. I mean, he has majorly exposed the ADL. But you're right. The thing is it, what is he actually going to do? Why is the ADL still able to operate on Twitter when they're openly organizing massive boycotts and financial sabotage operations of the platform that they're on itself? I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. And that was the whole point of Keith Woods' original tweet that kind of got this ban the ADL hashtag going, which has been a very, very interesting development. I mean, when was the last time the ADL has ever been like in mainstream political discourse?
Exactly.
Especially being criticized in the way they are and exposed in the way they are.
Well, I think Elon Musk might be thrown in there to play Yiddish ball against Keith Woods, because you know how they operate. I could be wrong, but I don't trust Elon Musk. I'll tell you the truth.
I agree. I mean, I don't necessarily trust him either. Although I don't know if he's. I don't think it's like some big like manipulated conspiracy where like Elon Musk is being like told what to do or something. I mean, I think, you know, he's an independent actor. I mean, he's like one of the richest men in the world. He's got billions of dollars. He owns Twitter. He owns all these other, you know, high tech companies, SpaceX, and he's become a huge target of the federal government and of the Biden administration. I actually wrote a piece. It was in, I can't even remember. I think it was actually the 37, 38, the issue right before that, 35-36, about a lawsuit that Biden's Justice Department filed against SpaceX because they refused to hire migrants. They refused to hire, like, asylum seekers at SpaceX.
Yeah.
So I think one of a number of lawsuits that
they might be doing the same. Threats. They might be doing the same thing Elon Musk is throwing in there to do. Who knows? Do you think the ADL is finally running scared and soiling their panties now, do you think?
You know, it's hard to say because, I mean, you look at, like, Jonathan Greenblatt, and he just continues to, like, double down on everything he's been saying, you know, and, of course, he's getting all this sympathetic coverage from the mainstream. There was also – I mean, this was actually a story that's going to be published in this upcoming issue of American Free Press where I wrote a report about Musk's sit-down with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister. And they were supposed to be talking about the future of AI. And, of course, Netanyahu brought up this whole ban the ADL controversy and basically demanded that Elon Musk how did he put it? He said, we need to stop anti-Semitism within the confines of the First Amendment, which is which is a totally absurd, ridiculous statement to make, because according to the First Amendment, the very concept of banning anti-Semitism or silencing or suppressing anti-Semitism is a total violation of the spirit of what the First Amendment is all about. We're supposed to be able to talk about the most controversial political issues and social issues facing the country, and for the, you know, for that sort of speech not to be banned and to specifically be protected. So
can
it's like,
Can I quote a sentence out of your article? Is that okay, may I?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, where is it here now? I had it right here. Oh, here we go. Courtney Kravitz, the ADL's Director of Development in Arizona, articulates the ADL strategy, approved of by even Musk himself after he took over the platform of freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. You can say whatever you want, but once you start having the reach of a social media platform and you're impacting a lot of other people, that's when it becomes an issue. So in other words, is this broad saying that, hey, you could talk, but just don't get too close to the truth? Is that what she's saying?
I don't think she's really saying that. I think she's basically saying, and Elon, same thing, like, we'll allow freedom of speech on Twitter, but if you're posting controversial material, if you're posting material that's critical of Jews, or that could be in any way deemed to be anti-Semitic or hateful, or, you know, promoting quote-unquote conspiracy theories, then we're going to systematically de-amplify and
de-amplify. That's exactly what I meant.
All righty. Hey,
thank you, William.
Bye-bye,
John.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Chance, man. Good
John,
to hear from you again.
Absolutely. Yeah, John, we're at the end of the show. Let's wrap it up here. So, how does everybody get a hold of you, or what do you want besides the American Free Press? You got any other?
Yeah, well, I think the best thing is probably just check out my website. It's therealistreport.com. I've got a subscribe by email feature right there on the website where you can put your email in and you'll get an email notification whenever I put up a new post. There's a contact page on my website. You can also see my Twitter account right there. You can follow me on Twitter and Gab. I'm at realistreport. I've also got a Telegram page. It's t.me/TheRealistReport. And then, of course, American Free Press is AmericanFreePress.net. And Barnes Review is BarnesReview.org. And there's actually a subscription special for RBN listeners. If anybody is interested or has maybe never subscribed to either publication, you can get a 50% discount on a print subscription to American Free Press or the Barnes Review with the coupon code RBNFRIEND. And that information is on my website. And if anybody has any questions or, you know, has, you know, any concerns about it or wants to know how to use it, just shoot me an email. You can find my email contact information right on my website. But yeah, that's what keeps me busy these days, is working on American Free Press and the Barnes Review, writing for both publications. Every once in a while, I'll put up an article independently on my website. But a lot of my time is spent with the newspaper and with the magazine. And I also do, a number of different radio programs. And you can find all of that at therealistreport.com.
Awesome. All right, I hear the music now. John, thanks again. It was really great to have you. I'm glad we finally got to do it. Hope to have you back again soon. Thanks again for coming on the show, John. And folks,
thanks, man. Yep.
Yeah. And folks, I'm going to do some analysis on John's articles in the next hour, so stick around, and we'll be right back for the second hour.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.